is Sound Ideas. I'm Charlie Schlenker. Just before the 2008 housing collapse, Bloomington Normal Realtors were selling about 1,600 new homes per year. Last year, that number was 74. Ed Neves has been selling homes in the community for more than 40 years. Last week, he was named president of the Illinois Realtors, a group lobbying state and federal lawmakers on housing matters. Neves tells WGLT's Eric Stock, consumer confidence remains low despite economic gains, and new home sales in particular are struggling because construction costs have skyrocketed.
Usually in a healthy market, you can get a pre-owned house for, say, $200,000. Then the same amenities in a new construction would be about $240,000, you know, about a 20% differential in price. In today's market, for $200,000, you can get a lot of house, and the same house new with the amenities would probably be $350,000. It's a huge gap in between the percentage. So the used houses, the pre-owned houses, are more marketable right now than new construction. And the main reason is cost of regulations, cost of materials, cost of labor. Regulations in the last 8 years have added to a $200,000 house, have added about $40,000 worth of regulations.
What are some examples?
The energy code keeps coming in and changing. So insulation requirements changed, windows requirements changed, all for energy efficiency, which is a good thing, but sometimes the consumer doesn't want to pay it. As far as the building side of it, 2x4 versus 2x6 construction, which is a better construction. Also, different construction in the attic, and heat exchange and air exchange. They've had a system now of air exchange to take in air in and air out, and things like that. You know, as far as energy code, and then the sanitary district. 12 years ago, a building permit with the sanitary district was about $700. Last year, it's like $4,000. So the permits, the building codes, cost of materials is the big thing. So when Katrina came through and wiped out a bunch of drywall companies and lumber companies, they didn't rebuild, but they just took the prices up, and the prices have always stayed up. So there's this artificial price increase, 5 to 10% every year on every piece of material in the house, so that it's a combination, like a perfect storm, that's taken the prices of new construction way up.
Pre-existing homes have also been behind recent trends, although not quite as dramatically. What is the key to getting those back to where they were, say, 5-10 years ago?
Well, the key always is jobs, jobs, jobs. So and consumer confidence. So part of my personal analysis of the situation is, when people talk about some of our major employers having employment changes, consumer confidence kind of shakes out a little bit and says, well, let's just wait. Let's hold off before we put our house on the market. A big thing with pre-owned houses is people moving from one side of town to the other, upgrading, if you will. And that whole section has kind of slowed because of prices going up on new construction. Less people went into new houses. And also, inventory being low, you would think low inventory, the supply and demand curve, which we're in the university here, is prevalent here. But as the supply went down, prices did not shoot up. So it's kind of an anomaly. But the lack of supply, so if I want to move across town and upgrade, there's not enough houses on the market for me to choose from. So I don't put my house on the market. So the feeder chain, I guess for lack of a better word, has a hiccup right in the middle, so there aren't enough starter homes, first-time homebuyer houses available to start the whole process.
Much of the Bloomington Normal economy, insurance, education, healthcare, tends to be fairly stable, and that's why we've always been told there's this housing bubble in Bloomington Normal. It's insulated from the ups and downs of the larger economy. Given the job transfers at State Farm and other businesses over the last few years, the population exodus out of Illinois, and the state budget crisis that went on for several years, does that bubble still exist here?
Well, I don't call it a bubble anymore, and I've been here long enough to know exactly what you're talking about. I think it's still this unseen, unknown consumer confidence deal is more that has more effect on our market than anything. Look at Peoria. They only move 100 people out of Peoria to Chicago, and their market went to heck. You know, it's an insignificant number. But their market over there is tough because they're not bringing in new jobs. Champaign still is robust on the south side with new construction, but the rest of Champaign is kind of dormant also. We've had a great, great run in Bloomington. It's been we've been very fortunate in real estate and people finding homes. And yes, we had this bubble. I think now it's just more like a regular market. So people are going, wow, this what happened? Well, it's a regular market.
A lot of the economic numbers over the last year have shown considerable improvement, at least compared to where they were a couple of years ago. Is there simply a lag time before that improves consumer confidence? Why is there a disconnect, do you think?
Well, I don't know. I'm not a psychologist, but I stayed at a hotel last night. No, I'm not a psychologist, but first-time home buyers kind of start the whole thing. And we had programs in Illinois 3 to 4 to 5 years ago where we had all these first-time homebuyer programs, $5,000, $6,000, $7,000 of non-payback down payment grants was huge. And, I mean, it really spiked everything. Those aren't there anymore. So those incentives aren't there anymore. And people are that are in the first-time homebuyer category are tending to rent a little more now because of a little psychological change as far as job security. Just from what they saw their parents go through. So they may not be as loyal to companies, and they may just be with a company for a couple years, and they know that, and they don't want to be tied down to a mortgage, so they rent. We have 1,500 apartments at the Snyder companies. They're all full, you know, so the rental market is tremendous. So I think there's a little slowdown on the front end of people coming into the market. There's a definite slowdown in houses available inventory. And then there's a slowdown in new construction.
And this is Sound Ideas. I'm Eric Stogg with Ed Neves, a longtime realtor in Bloomington Normal, recently named president of the Illinois Realtors at a ceremony in Naperville, and managing broker of Berkshire Hathaway Home Services, Snyder Real Estate in Bloomington. And I wanted to touch on something that you had alluded to about this generational shift, perhaps, where younger people are less inclined to buy a house, and maybe it's for multiple reasons: job insecurity, lack of finances, perhaps a mindset that they don't want to deal with the maintenance, they don't want to have to mow the grass and fix the plumbing and that sort of thing. There was a study in 2015 that showed home ownership rates in the U.S. for millennials is 37%, and that's 8 percentage points lower than Gen Xers and baby boomers at the same time. How do you combat such a shift like that?
Well, that's a good question, and it kind of goes back to that. First-time homebuyers, back when we had incentives in Illinois, 51% of our market was first-time homebuyers. And then it leveled off to 45, which I think is the number that you're quoting. And so now it's down. So how do you combat that? Well, the fact is that there's a lot of millennials, and the fact is they're going to need housing. So at some point, it's kind of called a phantom market is a lingo that we use. At some point, there's going to be such a run on housing that we're not prepared for it. There's not enough new construction. There's not enough anything. So right now, they're renting for the most part. I mean, there's the story, the myth that's out there that all the millennials are living with their parents in the basement. That's not true. It makes good copy. But they are in apartment complexes. And because of that, the apartment complex industry has shifted back to like what a dorm environment is. Instead of two-bedroom, three-bedroom apartments, they're now building what they call cluster apartments, which have 4 or 5 or 6 bedrooms and then one common living area in the middle, just like the dorms in the old days. So that's what the apartment industry is doing. What we're doing is attempting to build affordable housing for people coming in that have high student loan debt, that have a problem getting a bank loan. Banks are a little tighter, so we're just trying to bring the prices down. But the prices of new construction, and it gets you on the back end, is so high that it's a starter home these days is like $200,000. So we are lobbying the Illinois legislature constantly to come back with some first-time homebuyer incentives, come back with $7,000, $8,000, $10,000 of down payment assistance. If they stay in the house, forgive that money. We just want to see home ownership for the younger generation. That's about the only way you can combat that.
So on the policy end of things, you alluded to the group is looking for some more assistance to help first-time home buyers in the state of Illinois and in Congress. The Trump administration said recently that it wanted to privatize mortgage finance giants Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac, as they had been before the 2008 housing collapse. Can this be done in a way that won't increase costs for homeowners?
Well, this is a hot topic for us at the federal level. It's called GSE reform. All these different types of financing are called government-served enterprises, GSE. And Fannie and Freddie actually account for 85% of all mortgages in the United States right now. So from a national realtor's standpoint and an Illinois realtor standpoint, anything that messes with Fannie and Freddie is a significant thing for us to watch because it will affect the real estate market. And like I said earlier, under all is the land. If as real estate goes, so goes the economy. So we want to make sure that when they take a look at these, and we are constantly in the offices of our members of Congress in D.C. talking about this particular topic, do so with kid gloves. Let's come in and do something about it. Now, does Fannie and Freddie need reform? We agree as an association, as a trade group. Yes, they do.
Yeah, because they have said that this was never meant to be a permanent change in 2008.
That is correct. That is correct. It was never meant to be that way. But let's slide out of it. And talking to my member of Congress that I'm assigned to, a realtor and a team is assigned to each member of Congress. I have Adam Kinziger as the congressman that I'm assigned to. And talking to him, he agrees they need to be reformed. We agree it needs to be reformed. But we do agree, just let's take it lightly and softly right now. While they've been in receivership, they're actually making money. So it's not a financial thing. It's a 30-year mortgage. It's government-insured loans. The other option that you mentioned the administration is talking about is privatizing mortgages, privatizing this whole thing. And that's been going around for 30, 40 years to privatize it. The problem with that is if it's privatized and I'm an investor that has a lot of money and I'm going to say, here's all this money, go out and find me mortgages. A, I'm going to make sure those are Class A mortgages, so the credit restrictions are going to be higher. And B, I'm going to want 10% for my money because I can get 8 or 6 in a safe bet. So they're going to jack the interest rates. And right now, interest rates on these federally insured Fannie and Freddie mortgages are around 4%, 4.25%, 4.125%, let's just say 4 for government talk. If it goes up to 10, that's a significant increase. And then there'll be less home buying, and people will be able to less afford a house.
And as we continue on Sound Ideas with Ed Neves, the new president of the Illinois Realtors Group, turning to Springfield, a measure that your group is lobbying against, a rent control bill that would cap what renters can charge. Three other states have passed rent control bills. The state of Illinois currently has a ban on rent controls. Supporters of the proposal say there's a lack of affordable housing, especially in lower income areas, and they feel that this would address that. You're suggesting that that would actually hurt the people that they're trying to help.
Yes, and rent control, we are 100% in favor of affordable housing. Trying to figure a way to make all these mortgages and all these homes more affordable for everybody. And by the way, we are a nonpartisan group, so we leave our personal affiliations at the door when we come into these meetings. So rent control has been lumped into affordable housing, and it really has no business in there because it's they're completely opposite. But the people that are arguing for rent control say, well, this is affordable housing, and we have to help these people to pay their rent because rents are getting so high. And that is a very solid argument, very succinct, very, very quick. Here's what all the research, though, indicates. The unintended consequences hurt the people you're trying to help the most. So the argument is we're going to cap rents. Rents are too high. These people will be able to afford to stay where they are. In reality, what happens is I'm the investor. I own the apartment complex. Somebody comes in and says, okay, you're charging $800 a month right now. And I say, well, yeah, but I need $900 so I can maintain the building and fix it up, make it a nice place to live, and make a little profit. Most investors do not have investment properties by definition to lose money. So what happens is when somebody slaps a rent control on top and says that's as high as you go, these investors say, okay, I'm going to move my money to another investment. I'm going to sell this property, or I'm going to turn it into condominiums because I can no longer make any money with a cap on my rent. So that's one. Two, if they sell it to these people that really don't care then about the building, they're just going to milk it for as much rent as they can and not fix it up, not repair anything, and the conditions will deteriorate within the building. Eventually, if there's a cap, what happens is these buildings sell out, they turn to condos, or they tear them down and they build something else. So at the end of the day, the people that you try to help the most, the tenants, are out in the street. They're gone. Or they're built, they're living in types of properties that are not have not been maintained. And it just hurts the tenants that you're trying to protect.
That is Bloomington Normal Realtor Ed Neves, president of Illinois Realtors, with WGLT's Eric Stock. The association has nearly 50,000 members.